meet every single Sunday. However, it costs money to run a church, so we do talk about it occasionally. I'm guessing that most of you are familiar with the children's story of the little engine that could. There's a train filled with good things, carrying them over the mountain to the children. There are stuffed toys and dolls, airplanes, tops and jackknives, picture puzzles and books. The story was written in 1930, so there are no computer games, no Transformers, not even any Legos. The train is also carrying good food for the children. And then, oh, whoa, the engine breaks down. How on earth will all these toys and all this good food get to the children? A shiny new engine comes along. The toys ask for help, but the engine informs them that it is a gorgeous passenger engine with sleeping cars and dining cars and even parlor cars. Pull the likes of you, it declares, indeed not. Then a big strong engine appears, and once again the dolls beg for help. I am a big freight train, it says. I carry big machines, and I am very important. And I can't spend my time on the likes of you, and it goes on its way. And then an old, rusted, tired-looking engine comes toward them, barely chugging along. They ask for help, but the engine gasps, I'm so tired. I must rest my wheels. I cannot pull even a little train like you. I cannot. And off it limps, muttering, I cannot. The toys are distraught. How can they get themselves and the food to the children? See a little blue engine on the horizon running merrily along. But sure, the little blue engine may actually have had hints of kind of gray stone on it, I'm not sure. It's small. But what do they have to lose, they wonder, so they ask for help one more time. Well, the little engine says, I'm not very big, and I've never even been over the mountain. But it sees how desperately the toys need help, and it offers to assist. She's not certain she's strong enough, and the book does call her a she. She starts off chugging, I think I can. And as she picks up speed, she chugs more loudly, I think I can. Until she's moving happily up the mountain, up, until she sees the city on the other side where all the children are, waiting for their toys and their good food. And as she sails down, she chants happily, I thought I could. Our sermon today is entitled The Little Church That Could, and thanks to Kathy Thomas for this title. And today is a Sunday on which we kick off our annual pledge campaign. The theme that has been chosen for this year is Ministry Matters. We at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Rutland, as you may have guessed, are the sturdy little blue engine, the one that offers to help, because it really matters to get the toys and the good food, ministering in various forms, to the people over the mountain. And those people include each of us in this room, as well as those who are outside our walls and far beyond. Ministry. Those toys and the food are actually pretty good symbols for the ministry of a church. Ministry not just in the sense of what a minister does, although that's a significant portion of the ministry of any church, but ministry in a larger sense, in the many ways in which we minister to one another, tend to and care for and offer support to one another. All the things on the train are important, as ministry in a healthy church is. The toys and dolls form a community as they struggle together and encourage one another not to give up hope and celebrate when things go well. The puzzles and the jackknives invite us to be persistent and creative, and the books invite us to explore and learn. Anyone who's watched a sad child hug a teddy bear or a favorite doll knows that all of these things can bring comfort in times of struggle and sadness, as ministry does. Together, this community dares to ask for help and to keep trying until they find a way forward, which resonates with what we're hoping to do here this year. The train even carries healthy food, and as we all know, food is absolutely essential to any church. The train's passengers keep searching for a solution to their problem until they find one, a little blue engine, who isn't certain she can make it over the mountain, but she's willing to try. I think I can. I think I can. And when that's accomplished and she makes it over the mountain, they all celebrate, the toys and dolls and the engine, and presumably even the books and jackknives and puzzles jump up and down for joy. I thought I could, they chant. I thought I could. There are some significant differences. Our trade has most certainly not stopped. We've been moving forward for quite some time, well over a century, bringing ministry in many forms to each other and to our church and to our community. But at times, it does seem our load is a lot to pull. And we need to be reminded of how sturdy and capable our little engine is. There are churches that fit the models of those earlier engines. There are a few churches, just a few, but there are a few UU churches that are more like that shiny new engine pulling a luxurious train with dining cars and parlor cars. I think of a UU church in the Boston area, which I will not name, that serves, it is not a church I've served, that serves coffee hour every Sunday from linen-covered tables. The linens are sent out for dry cleaning every Monday. Dry cleaning is actually a line item in its budget. The dry cleaning line is actually larger than its RE budget. The church's membership is less than a quarter of what it was a few decades ago. And while its membership is smaller than ours, it has a full-time minister. Almost all of this is paid for with a dwindling endowment. Yes, it was originally several million dollars, and it's gone way down. It was funded lavishly well over a century ago, and it is rapidly being drained. Financial contributions by current members are abysmal. They're in the range of $200 to $300 average, and it's probably rushing towards its own demise, albeit with carefully pressed means. That church, that kind of engine, really is an anomaly in UU churches. And I would assume leave that sort of big shiny engine to itself, which I think is how it wants to be anyhow. There are many UU churches that are a different kind of shiny, some of them because of their physical plant. The Arlington Street Church in Boston, for example, has the largest collection of Tiffany windows of any church in the world. And when you're in Boston, you should stop and see if it's gorgeous. For those of you who remember the book Our Bodies, Ourselves, which came out in the early 70s, that had its birth in the Arlington Street Church. Frank Lloyd Wright, who was a Unitarian, has designed our churches in Oak Park, Illinois, and Madison, Wisconsin. There are many such churches as that, places that are gorgeous or have particularly important histories. I would argue that we can hold our own with any of that sort of beautiful, shiny ancient church, although on a smaller and less well-known scale. I would remind you, though, that we had a picture of this in the UU World not too long ago, so we do have some notoriety. I love this warm, functional building, and I know many of you do, too. I love the colors of the organ pipes and the pattern on that woodwork behind me, and our wonderful assortment of windows. I love our aged wooden walls, which make me feel cozy and still, on our gorgeous stone exterior with our little turret. Those of you who were here last night saw pictures of the construction of the extension to the rear of our building, completed early in this century, I think it was 2002, with our new kitchen and the community room, a lift, and other upgrades to the building. And you also had to have the privilege of experiencing at nighttime the beauty of those sconces that have just been installed. We have cared for our building wisely and well. Our engine may not be shiny new or huge, but it is most certainly beautiful. There are UU churches that are more in the big, strong engine model, our well-known workhorse churches. UU churches such as All Souls in Washington, D.C., or Unity in St. Paul, Minnesota, Cedar Lane and Bethesda, churches that have been part of starting housing complexes, churches that run large food pantries. There are churches that do some amazing things. King's Chapel in Boston has intentionally kept our history alive through its worship structure. It feels like you're in 1920s, 1930s with a prayer book, and it's well worth your time. It's also one of our most socially active churches and a centerpiece for the city of Boston. Shelter Rock Union in Manhasset, Long Island is tremendously wealthy, like the church I mentioned earlier, except it gives its money away. It was left a very large gift of stock back in 1953, I think it was. Last year alone, Shelter Rock gave over $12.5 million to support a variety of social justice causes, civil rights, economic equity, and numerous other causes, many of them affiliated with union institutions. I cherish those big-name churches, and I'm grateful for all they contribute, sometimes even a little envious. But we're not them either. And thankfully, we're far from being that tired, rusted-out old engine, too. There are a few union churches like that, with little energy, little vibrancy, and a sense of very little hope. Every year, a few of our churches close for whatever reason. They've reached a point of, I cannot, and at some point, they can't. These are churches with years of shrinking membership and diminishing activities, little or no community engagement, and aging physical plants with no money to fix them. And we at UU Church of Rutland, thankfully, are not that church either. We are, I believe, the little church that could. We don't have any large endowment fund to use to pay our staff or support our building or, thankfully, to buy linens. We do have a small fund that subsidizes ministry itself, and I'll come back to that. We do have a tenant, the wonderful Horizons Early Learning Center that rents our basement and contributes substantially to our income. We do offer a variety of events to the community, occasional concerts in collaboration with the Paramount, the recent revived open mic night, a smattering of other concerts or films or other events. Some of these bring in a little money, which helps our budget, but even more importantly, they provide a service for the larger community, as well as for ourselves. And they help us to share our values and our identity beyond our walls. We offer space to several local nonprofits. We've established a good partnership with a local chapter of the NAACP to the extent that our board has decided to automatically approve space use for NAACP events whenever possible as part of our support of their work. And our building is in good shape. We've upgraded our lighting to enhance the space for evening events. Last year, we purchased the chairs that most of you are sitting on to replace what I'm told were dreadfully uncomfortable old pews. And each year we welcome new members to our church. A new member welcoming ceremony is planned for later this spring, and if you're curious about membership, please talk to me after service or send an email. There are many ways in which we're a healthy and lively place, even though we're relatively small and far from the big cities. Our little church often says, I think I can, and we do. This is possible because of the many gifts that we each give, gifts of time and energy, ideas and love, and yes, gifts of money, because running a church requires money. Each year, we craft a budget for the coming fiscal year, which starts on July 1st, and we vote on it in our annual meeting in early May. In order to do this responsibly, we need to know what our expenses are likely to be. Our largest expenses are for staff, a 3/8 time ministry. That means I preach once a month for 10 months of the year and twice a month for 5 of those months. We have an 8-hour week administrator and an 8-hour week custodian. Our RE budget includes a few hours each week to organize our program as well as funds for supplies and curriculum. One of the programs that we support very intentionally is the OWL program, the UUA's groundbreaking, extensive, and honest sexuality education curriculum. We have routine readiness building expenses. We have to pay for heat and electricity, insurance, and the like. And we fund church committees, pay dues to the UUA, and support other church activities, all the usual expenses for a church. To craft a responsible budget, we need to know what our income will probably be, as well as what our expenses will probably be. And that leads us to this year's pledge campaign theme, Ministry Matters. Obviously, I believe professional ministry matters. It's why I do what I do. The most visible thing that an ordained UU minister does, or any other minister, is evident on Sunday mornings. We stand here and we say things which may resonate in various ways, but we do it. As your 3/8 time minister, as I mentioned, I'm in the pulpit on the second Sunday of each month, September through June, and also on the fourth Sunday for half of these months. Most of you know that I'm also the third time minister of the Glen Falls Union Church, and that's why I'm on the third Sunday of each month. What does the minister do in addition to preaching, though? I meet regularly with the board, with pastoral care, membership, Sunday service, and leadership development committees. I facilitate classes and do individual counseling as requested, officiate at various ceremonies, and attend many church events. I don't live locally, so I spend a long weekend or two here each month, and those activities are clustered around those weekends, and thank you to those who have provided housing for those weekends. During the rest of the month, I'm in communication with board members and whomever else contacts me. When possible, I add pastoral visits as needed or make an extra trip to Rutland for a specific event or emergency. I do believe professional ministry is beneficial to a church. The training and experience and availability of an ordained minister makes many parts of church life work more smoothly. But that's only a part of our ministry. Perhaps not even the most important part. Ministry is a verb which means simply to give service or care or aid. Our dedicated RE team provides ministry to our children. Our pastoral care committee is among the most effective I've seen in any UU church. Their ministry of calling and sending cards to those who are sick in body or hurting in other ways is a blessing to all of us. The ministry that Building the Grounds gives to our physical plant is a gift to the entire congregation. Becky and Diane, other musicians, and all of our choir members offer ministry to our souls through their songs. Those who organize various concerts and films provide yet another form of ministry. And the list goes on. Ivan, with his ministry of preparing coffee each Sunday, he didn't know I was going to mention his name, and Aaron, who's organizing this year's auction, are board members with their gifts of time and attention. Board members who are here or former board members, would you raise your hands? There are a lot of them, some of them. Each of you who serve as greeters or bring refreshments or participate in circle dinners or offer thoughtful and well-prepared lay sermons, all of this is ministry. Ways that we care for and support one another and our church community. Without such active and regular volunteer contributions, no church can thrive. But this year, we're focusing the pledge drive on the part of ministry that actually costs money. I mentioned earlier that in order to craft a budget, we need to know our probable costs and our probable income. And I talked a bit about our costs. Our income is the other part of that equation. The bulk of our income comes from church pledges, promises that each of us makes to the church. Probably most of you know that each UU church is entirely self-funded. We make a financial contribution to the Unitarian Universalist Association, UUA, which covers a variety of things, from producing our hymnals and RE materials to public advocacy. We have been a leader, for example, in the whole issue of gay rights in this country, of which I am very proud. The UUA offers training and credentialing for various church staff, assists churches when they're seeking a minister, and offers guidance in many areas of church life. But unlike some denominations, our UUA does not own the property of our individual churches. We don't have a diocese that manages our church staff, or sends us new people, or provides materials. All of that is up to each individual church. And next Sunday, I'll talk a little bit about why that's the case. This church, like virtually all UU churches, states in its bylaws that one of the expectations of members is some regular financial contribution. We know that people's incomes and financial obligations vary widely, and so do the amounts of those contributions vary widely. But we also know that we only exist if everyone helps in some way. large or small, with her gifts of time and talent and treasure. So, pledges. They form the backbone of our income. We're fortunate to have a daycare center as a tenant, and it provides a significant part of our income, too. Some money comes from various rentals and from special events, such as our annual auction, which would be on Saturday, March 23rd this year. If you have something you would like to donate, please talk to Aaron, who's back there holding her hands up enthusiastically. But for the past few years, part of our income has come from a ministry reserve fund, money which was accumulated during the 2 years when we were without a minister. It was set aside with the specific purpose of helping to fund professional ministry. And unfortunately, in the months last year when we were without a tenant, we had to draw more heavily than we had planned. We would very much like to be using less from that fund. We'd like for our pledges and other income to cover our expenses without digging into our small reserves. The board and Canvas Committee believe that professional ministry matters a lot to this church. We believe that our church values ministry in all of its forms, including paid part-time ministry. It is our hope that this year we can make some headway toward an income that funds our ministry more completely. To that end, I want to say something about how we determine what our income will be as we create our budget for next year. We know that our financial resources vary widely, hugely from person to person. We know that each of us has very different financial obligations, some of which may be known and some of which may be very private. Members, by the act of joining the church, agree to make a financial contribution. And those who don't want to officially join but do want to be involved in our church are most welcome to make a pledge too, and that actually happens pretty often. But member or not, pledges that are very modest or very large, we can only create a budget based on income that we're pretty sure of receiving. Whether your pledge is $10 a month or less, or $100 a month, or $1,000 a month, or much more, if we don't know about it, we can't include that in our likely income. Pledges can be paid in whatever way works for you, weekly or monthly, quarterly, annually, sporadically, or anywhere in between. Just please, please, fill out your pledge card and get it back to Ed or Kathy. That's Ed. This is Kathy. Give it to them today, mail it in, put in the collection plate as it goes around, send an email telling them, but just please let us know what your intentions are in the next few weeks. We'd like to have the pledge campaign completed by March 24th, so that we have plenty of time to prepare a budget for our annual meeting on May 5th. We track our expenses carefully, and your pledge cards let us track our income just as carefully. Your pledge, large or small, makes a difference. It helps to fund the ministry of this church, which matters to all of us. And all the money in the world can't make a healthy, growing, thriving church. Sustaining our beloved community also takes our love and our time, our energy and our ideas, our talents and our interests. One of our strengths is the extent of love and care that we give to one another here at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Rutland. We are really good at supporting one another in times of struggle and sadness, and we're good at celebrating with one another in times of joy and discovery. We're good at studying and exploring together. We're good at showing up for events and pitching in to help with all sorts of aspects of church life, setting up for a potluck or singing in the choir, working on the auction, joining a committee, or attending a circle dinner. All of these and much more are part of nourishing the ministry of our community, and they all matter. Together, we are that little church that could, that small but mighty, determined, joyful engine that moves our community forward, because we really do know that our little church matters to each of us, to our Rutland community, and even far beyond. I think I can. Let's get to, I thought I could. I knew I could. I knew we could. We knew we could. As we move forward together. May it be so. Amen. who's our pastor here at this church, she